Would you join me in prayer, please? Our Father, we long for the simple beauty of Christmas, all of the old familiar melodies, words, and symbols that remind us of the great miracle when you came as a babe lying in a woman's arms. As we yearn for those things, let us yearn even more for your renewed presence among us, even as we celebrate with anticipation the advent of Jesus, your Son. Before such mystery we kneel and follow so many other pilgrims, shepherds, magi, and countless others in bringing you love and paying you honor. We confess that our love has not always been as sincere and warm as it should have been. We pray that we would receive from you the grace to make our love pure and real. We come with gratitude for every token of your love and for all of the many blessings you have given to us during all the years of our living. And we come, having brought you tithes and offerings, asking that you would bless them and multiply them and use them in your service. We pray also that as we begin anew this journey of hopeful expectation, what we do would please you, bring honor to you, and bring us closer to your expectations for us. May the loving kindness of the Advent season and the true spirit of Christmas not only come into our hearts, but may they abide in such a way that our earthly cares and our own festivities this season not cause your spirit to weep. May the joy and spirit of Christmas remain within and around us now and forever. We offer this prayer in the name of the Babe of Bethlehem, who came to save us from our sins. Amen.
As we begin the Christian year, we also celebrate the holy season known as Advent. It is a time when we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Messiah. Advent means coming, and we celebrate these days of Advent in expectation and preparation for the Christ's arrival. Through the centuries, Christians have observed a time of waiting and expectation before celebrating the birth of the Savior at Christmas. Advent is also a time for reflection and preparation, though its mood is one of joy. Advent has been enriched by Christian traditions to reflect its distinctive Christian meaning. It proclaims openly and joyfully the revelation of God's love as expressed in Jesus' birth in a humble stable in an unstable world, his sacrificial death on a cross, and his victory over death in his resurrection. It points to the Christian hope of Christ's coming again, he who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Advent makes innkeepers out of us all, and we are asked to make room for the arrival of the King. Let us begin today in preparing room for him in our hearts, in our lives, and in our homes.
Would you join in singing Carol 244, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, 244.
Thank you. star in the sky, carols in the evening air, a candle in the window, a wreath on the door, mistletoe hung in the doorway, poinsettias in brilliant color, gifts beneath a lighted tree, friends around a holiday table, families reunited in love, church bells ringing. These are images from modern Christmases. But let us listen to the lessons of years and centuries gone by, not just to impressions of the moment. Images of the present in the biblical story are often discouraging. War, hate, famine, a Caesar on his throne, later Christians being persecuted because of belief and love come down to earth. Yet now, after the centuries, Caesar is gone. Some of those early Christians are shining symbols of faith, and Jesus, the truth and the light, reaches out to every nation. Let us, through the great traditions of our faith, join with the shepherds of Bethlehem, the Magi from the East, and all of those seekers throughout the ages to welcome the one who came at Christmas. Let us bring our gifts to him, and may the message of our singing also be, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to all people. Advent is a time of anticipation, but this is symbolized by both a four-week period of preparation and by the lighting of an Advent candle on each Sunday of the season. The flame of each new candle reminds us, the worshipers, that something exciting is happening and something more is still to come. The candles are arranged in a circle to remind us of the continuous power and love of God, which knows no beginning nor ending. There is also symbolism in the colors of the candles. The three purple candles symbolize the coming of Christ from the royal line of David. He is coming as the King of Kings and Prince of Peace. The pink candle is to be lighted on the third Sunday of Advent and represents joy. The large white candle in the center is known as the Christ candle and points to Jesus as the Christ, the light of the world. It is lit on Christmas Eve. A progression is noted in the lighting of the candles of the Advent wreath each Sunday. Each candle symbolizes various aspects of our waiting experience. They focus on hope, peace, joy, and love. The culmination of the season comes as we light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve, rejoicing that the promise of long ago has been fulfilled.
Today, we light the first candle in our Advent wreath, the candle of hope. Yet, we have difficulty speaking of hope without starting to pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, quickly come." Good intentions fail us, and it is hard to sustain positive thinking in the face of harsh tragedies in our world. Human potentials offer few promises in the midst of our human failures. Sometimes, even religion offers us little help when it preaches law over grace and grudges over forgiveness. If there is any hope, it must come from you, O God. So, as we light this candle, we ask that you fill us with the hope that sends us running to give hope to others by caring for the ill who cannot heal, feeding the hungry who cannot feed themselves, and challenging even the religious with the good news of the gospel which brings peace. As we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," may we sense stirrings of that hope that may overcome all that is wrong in our world. We need hope. Come, O child of hope. Amen.
The most striking and universal feature of Christmas is the use of evergreens in churches and in homes. Among ancient Romans, evergreens were an emblem of peace, joy, and victory. Early Christians placed them in their windows to indicate that Christ had entered the home. Holly and ivy, along with pine and fir, are called evergreens because they never change colors. They are ever green, ever alive, even in the middle of winter. They symbolize the unchanging nature of our God and remind us of the everlasting life that Jesus Christ brings for each of us. Under Christian thought and sentiment, holly became widely used in church celebrations. It was considered as the burning bush or a symbol of Mary who glowed with the Holy Spirit. The red berries represented the blood drops of Jesus brought on by the cruel crown of thorns that he was forced to wear. In Isaiah 60:13, we read, "The glory of Lebanon shall come unto you, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of your sanctuary." Our forefathers called the procuring of these evergreens bringing home Christmas.
Today, the Christmas tree is the center of many festivities. Glittering with lights and ornaments, it is a part of the beauty and meaning of our Christmas celebrations. One of the legends about the use of the Christmas tree was from medieval German paradise plays. These were held outdoors and portrayed the creation of humans. The tree of life was a fir tree decorated with apples. Later, other items were hung on the trees, such as paper flowers and gilded nuts. In England, branches or whole trees were used indoors for Christmas. The first lighted tree was most likely used in Germany by Martin Luther. The story is told that he was wandering outside one Christmas Eve and was captivated by the beauty of the stars in the sky and the moonlight on the fir trees. He began to reflect on the glory of the first Christmas Eve in Bethlehem, and wishing to share this with his wife and children, he cut an evergreen from the forest, glistening with snow, and took it home. He placed candles upon it to represent the glorious heavens he had seen. The use of a candle-lighted tree spread over Europe, and Americans came to regard it as a central ornament of Christmas. Our trees are somewhat different, though. They are called chrismon trees because, in addition to lights and ornaments, they will be covered with chrismons. Chrismon comes from two words, Christ and monogram. They are shapes which remind us of Christ and what he has done for us. Some of the chrismons are an ichthus, or fish, which stands for Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, crosses, doves of peace, representing the Holy Spirit, and interlocking circles, representing the Trinity. Enjoy our celebration as our children bring chrismons to place on the trees, as the trees are lit, and as the children share a song with us.
Most Christmas greenery reflects European traditions, but one colorful plant which looks like a flaming star, the poinsettia, is a native to the American continent. It was named after Dr. Joel Robert Poinsett, an ambassador to Mexico who first introduced it to the United States in 1828. The people of Mexico and Central America call the brilliant tropical plant the flower of the holy night. The poinsettia is a many-pointed star and has become a symbol of the Star of Bethlehem. We continue our decorations with the placing of poinsettias in our sanctuary.
Emmanuel, Son of God, come to us.
Before the celebration of Christmas, candles were used to signify Christ as the light of the world. In medieval times, there was a legend that on Christmas Eve, the Christ child wandered throughout the world, looking for a place where he would be welcomed. Those who loved him, hoping that he might find their homes, placed lighted candles in the window to invite him inside. No one knew for sure how he might appear, perhaps in ragged clothes as a beggar or as a poor and lonely child. He might come in the form of a crippled person roaming the streets or the lonely countryside. It became customary for devout Christians to welcome into their homes anyone who knocked at their doors on Christmas Eve. If you did not, you might turn away the Christ child in unfamiliar form, just like the innkeeper on the first Christmas night. During the Advent season, we remember that the Christ is wandering along our streets, looking for homes where he will find warmth and shelter. The candles in the windows of our church and our homes symbolize that Christ is our welcome guest. Here is a place where there is room in our hearts for him. As the candles are lit in our windows, we can recommit ourselves to sharing the true light with those around us during this Christmas season.
I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die. For poor ornery people like you and like I wonder as I wander out under the sky. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall. with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. But high from God's heaven a star's light did fall, and the promise of ages it then did recall. If Jesus had wanted for any weak thing a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have it, 'cause he was the King. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die. For poor unruly people like you and like I wonder, as I wonder out under the sky.
The music of Christmas includes many different types, from instrumental to sacred oratorios to simple caroling. The actual origin of caroling as a part of the Christmas celebration is really unknown. Many different countries have claimed to be the birthplace of the custom. From the first, though, music of some kind was a part of the church festivals in honor of the birth of Jesus. We know that caroling existed in Germany in the 15th century because Martin Luther wrote that when Christmas was celebrated, he went with others from house to house and from village to village singing popular Christmas carols. We could safely assume that caroling was first done by the chorus of angels who visited shepherds on the first Christmas night and who sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all people." Let us add our voices in that tradition as we stand and sing together, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," number 277.
Oh, no.
Christmas joy naturally overflows into music of all kinds. About the 4th century, bells first pealed forth in glad song at Christmas. Of all of our Christmas symbols, the bells have experienced the fewest changes. Church bells, which have cheered the hearts of people throughout the ages, are said to have been originated by Bishop Paulinus of Nola in Campania, Italy, who died in A.D. 431. From these two names has come the Latin word for bell. Medieval people had a tender feeling towards the ringing of bells. They often held special dedications with prayers for bells. Historical bells that have rung out the glad news at Christmas include the Emperor Bell in Moscow, the Great Bell of China in Beijing, Big Ben in London, and the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. Yet it is church bells, large and small, in every community around the world that have found their way into each of our hearts. Listen and enjoy the peal of the bells in our celebration.
Our children to come and to join me at the front, if you would, please. Come and have a seat down here at the front. Good morning. How are you all today? That's really good. It's so nice to see you. You know, the most heartwarming expression of Christmas is the Nativity. The Nativity that has Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus in a stable. It speaks of the mystery of God's wisdom and love. Why God chose to send His Son into our world as a baby of humble birth, born in common surroundings, we don't know. Other than mysterious love. We know that God reached out to all people, including the poor and the wealthy, the simple and the wise, the powerless and the powerful, the old and the young. All who found Him knelt in humility before Him, knowing God is possible only because He came to us and He came at our level. Whenever we see the Nativity, like on our altar table here, we find ourselves there with a tired and ordinary couple, Mary and Joseph, with the shepherds and with the wise men who came later, bowing before the manger, overwhelmed by God's expression of love in coming to us. I want us all to listen as our children will sing "Away in a Manger" for us. Y'all want to come up here and From the beginning of Christmas celebrations, gift giving has been a part of the season as well. The Magi gave out their treasures, and the shepherds gave of their flocks and of themselves. But the gift of God in giving Jesus as our Savior is the first and greatest of all Christmas gifts. Like the shepherds and Magi, many have tried to give back by giving to others at Christmas. One of those who gave a long time ago was St. Nicholas, Bishop of Myra in Lycia in the 4th century. The story is that he was wealthy, and his emblem has three purses and three golden balls on it, a symbol of wealth and status in Italy. The bishop would give money secretly to those whom he found in need. He was very interested in children and young people, often giving money to needy boys and to young girls who had no dowry, which in those days affected when a girl could get married. Gifts that arrived for others from unknown sources were often attributed to St. Nicholas. You might wonder how people knew of his generosity if he did this secretly. But supposedly a man had three daughters and no dowry for them. On two successive nights, a bag of gold coins fell down a chimney with the two oldest daughters' names written on them. The man decided to wait up on the next night to see who was leaving the gifts, and saw Nicholas dropping a third bag down the chimney. His name became associated with unselfish giving, especially at Christmas time. But the greatest gift of Christmas is a gift of God in Jesus. All that we do at this holy season points to that expression of holy love. Christ came as a baby in Bethlehem. God's Christmas gift. And it is through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that the gift continues to go on. Our manger is currently empty in our baptistry as we wait with anticipation for the arrival of the baby Jesus. If you are here at our Christmas Eve communion service, I am certain that you will find Him in that manger. But more importantly, I hope that you will find Him within your own heart. Come and join with those who watched their flocks and who came and found that child on that night as we stand and sing together our congregational carol number 272, While Shepherds Watch Their Flock. as we come to share in these final moments together, I would remind you that this evening we will be gathered here for moments around the manger as we continue to reflect upon the gift that God has given to us and our opportunities to give back. I would now ask you to please join me as we read together our benediction to conclude this moment together. O God, You have caused this world to shine with the illumination of the true light. You have given us Your only begotten Son to take our nature upon Him and to show us Your glory and grace. As You have given this gift in love, may we receive it with joy, and may we reflect Your light to a darkened world. As we have decorated this place of worship, may we also live lives of worship decorated with God's forever things, forever love, forever life, forever living, forever growing, forever green. In the name of God's love and light, Jesus. Amen.